You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cakes Auville, and Jason Bishop. And joining us right now via Zoom is Jake Russell, Washington Post sports writer, author of 100 Things Nationals Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. What's up, Jake?
What's happening, Jake?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
Got you can buddy. Smile, buddy. You're a smile, man. You're on TV, brother. Enjoy it.
You guys are my favorite show. So,
thank you.
I'm thrilled to be on the show. I've listened to you guys for at least the last decade and a half, and I appreciate you guys being on during the quarantine. It helps a lot.
Well, thanks, bro.
Thanks, man.
Some kind words there, Mr.
What else are we going to do? I mean, it's either that or get fired.
Right. Sure, we all have time on our hands.
Exactly.
Hey, Jake,
exactly.
I wanted to ask you, we had a little debate, I guess it was on yesterday's show, right, JP, about the proposal, the new proposal, 67 pages from Major League Baseball, and they want to change the game completely, and they want the bench players to be sitting in the stands 6 feet apart, and just it's crazy. You can't spit. Can't dap anybody up after a walk-off.
That's the proposal.
That's the proposal. I get it. I know the players aren't going to agree to all of it. But what is your thought on just the proposal in general?
Well, I was waiting for you and EB to fight Cakes and JP over that. That was going to be a fun wrestling match. Honestly, I'm not sure how much that'll work. I think the point's been brought up before that MLB basically wants to give the players some talking points to talk over and say, all right, here's something we can bargain over. Here's, things we like, things we don't like. But I feel like it's going to be a pretty difficult ask because Major League Baseball is a much bigger operation than basically the Korean Baseball League and the Chinese Baseball League in Taiwan that's been going on right now. I feel like those two leagues could give Major League Baseball a solid blueprint maybe for how to restart the league again. But like I said, Major League Baseball is just such a big operation, and there's so many little things and so much of a gray area. It's not necessarily a black or white thing. There's so much gray area involved. And my life motto is hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. So I'm personally preparing myself for not having really any team sports until next year, honestly.
Oh, so you don't think the baseball season is going to start after July 4th like they want it?
I won't believe it until I see it, pretty much. Right. That's kind of my philosophy with this. I just feel like it's so tricky and so difficult, and the whole issue is, what if a player gets the coronavirus? What do you do? Do you quarantine the whole team? Do you stop the league for several weeks? How does that whole thing work? There's just so much involved with
it. I think you just quarantine him, and then you keep testing the other guys.
Yeah, if you do daily tests, I think it could be doable, and I think all of these shenanigans are stupid, because if you just do and I don't want anybody to get sick. But if you daily test and somebody ends up positive, you're going to catch it right away, shut that person down, they'll take 2 weeks, they'll get healthy, and then, presumably there have been very minimal risk of any spread, and everybody else carries on. I mean, that's all you do.
Well, the players, they obviously don't want to catch it. Their safety is first and foremost in their mind, and I guess, as Blake Snell pointed out, money is probably 1B compared to health being 1A.
How would they catch it? If they're all tested, I mean, they might catch it just going to the grocery, but if they're all tested playing, they're not going to give it to each other unless some dummy gets it, I guess going to some sort of concert or something.
I mean, I guess if they have to go out to the grocery store while they're living in, you know, hotels or wherever they're living in a traveling, you know, who knows really how you catch it, you know, because you do so many things and you're in your mind, you're being so careful with this and you're trying not to do anything. And people that have been super careful to avoid getting it, you know, wearing gloves and masks, they still catch it somehow. And, you know, obviously you've seen the report that Von Miller had coronavirus, and he detailed how difficult it was to deal with it. You know, 2 weeks after catching it, he's still having problems with it, although I think he does have an underlying symptom. I think he's asthmatic.
He's got asthma.
But still, he's, like, so much better shape than any one of us. No offense, guys, but he's in so much better shape than us, and he's still having problems with it.
Yeah, but he's an outlier. He's an outlier. He, you know, he's an elite athlete with an underlying condition, and, you know, so many of them are asymptomatic, as many as 50%. I mean, I just think I'm just taking it as a given. The players will cruise through it. It's not an issue. The ones that would be vulnerable, obviously, would be the coaches, the umpires, potentially. But again, if they're all tested, I mean, we should all be so lucky to live in an environment where we all could be tested and not spread diseases to each other every day. I mean, to me, it would be...
That's another issue, not to make it political, but everyone, you know, you want to get to the point where the country as a whole has easy access to getting tested and not having the uproar of people going, wait, how come these guys can get tested so frequently, but I can't? I'm having so much trouble getting through my insurer or this or that. Well, how come these guys can get it and I can't?
Well, frankly, of course, that's a big issue. But frankly, that issue is going away. I mean, you could go sign up and get a test right now. I did it. It took me 2 minutes to get the antibody test, and anybody could walk in. Cuomo even said, we need people to come in and get tested. We got more testing capacity than people that are – no one's coming, you know?
Now, the test isn't fun, Jake. I took it. The test ain't fun.
But you have the old school test. You have the old school test. There's a variety of different tests, Jason. They're not all up the nose, the right-hand corner that stinks.
I know, but a lot of people are still taking that test that I took.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not comfortable.
Right. But I would just request that you want a swab. You don't want that one. You don't want the one, you know, one cheek swab or something. You don't want the one that goes all the way up your nose and takes the right-hand turn.
It went all the way up, top of my brain, almost out of my skull.
I wouldn't really want that one either.
That's how high up they went.
So, Jake, your book, 100 Things Nationals Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, you've updated it, right?
Yeah. Honestly, not going to lie, I didn't think I'd ever have to, but then the Nats decided to change things around a bit and actually decide to win a World Series. Especially, you know, a year ago, I thought they had no chance, and I don't think really anybody outside of that locker room did either. So in December, I reached back out to my publisher, and they said, of course we want you to update this. So I spent about a month updating it, and I updated about 80 or so chapters, because even though my book covers Nats, Senators going back 100-plus years, I had to go and fix little details, like things that said DC's only World Series title. Obviously, it's not the only World Series title now, 1924. They added to that trophy case. So it's something. It was a nice, fun little exercise in going back and seeing what I wrote and updating things from chapters 1 to 100.
So you didn't add, like, new things to do?
Not new things to do, but I did add about 8 new chapters. I added a chapter on Juan Soto, a chapter on Rendon. I condensed the several chapters I had of the managers into one chapter to make room for others. I basically updated that regard. And I had, obviously, the first few chapters are about the World Series and about a team coming to D.C., so I had to obviously make a lot of concessions for that and delete some.
How high up already is Juan Soto in all-time Nats?
At a minimum, top 20. Probably top 5 if I had to guess. His performance in the postseason was just unbelievable for someone that age with that little bit of experience. Obviously has ice in his veins, so he became a fan favorite right away. And, you know, going into the postseason, you didn't really know how much, you know, which players would step up, and arguably he stepped up the most, maybe besides Strasburg. But his performance was just out of this world, and I think people are going to obviously enjoy that the rest of their lives.
What were your expectations of the team this year, considering they lost Rendon? And that's a big hole in the lineup when you lose that guy. But what were your expectations coming in before the season was postponed?
I'd say around 90 wins. Obviously, I think they would compete for a division title. But I think the Braves did a really good job in this offseason. I think they're still the team to beat in the division. Even if it's, you know, short season, long season, full season, whatever, I think they're the team to beat. I think the Nats would have competed for that spot, and I think they still would have found a way to either make it in the wild card or as the NL East leader. I think they would have been right in that mix at the end of the year.
Yeah, well, I was talking to Eric earlier in the show. It just seems like years ago that they won the World Series, and it was just, you know, last October.
Yeah, it's not like anything's happened since October, right?
Right, I know.
The world's changing in front of our eyes. Yeah, and it's crazy to think that they should be, what, about 60 games in right now into the season, something like that, and they haven't played one game yet. It's just crazy how it feels like the game, to me, I don't know, it feels like the game just happened, but it's so far in our rearview mirror now that so many different things have happened. We've had a whole NFL season since then. Basketball and NHL has stopped mid-season because of this pandemic. It's just amazing all the things that have happened since then, and it's, what, 7-8 months now in our rearview mirror? It's just crazy to think about.
Do you still think, so you actually think football, you think the NFL is not going to plow ahead in play? Like, you think no sports until the spring? Dukes and I were talking about it this weekend. I think it was Dukes and I. And he's of the mindset the NFL doesn't care at all. They haven't missed anything. They're not missing the draft. They're just going to do it. And I tend to agree with him.
Well, I think they do care, but I think they're also, this is not that it's good timing to have a pandemic, but in their off season, it's worked perfectly for them because they gave fans things they wanted, free agency in the draft.
Right.
And you obviously have the ability to do that without risking anybody's personal health. I personally, I guess I'm probably selfishly guarding my own heart in case I don't want to get my hopes up for a season happening and then it not to happen. I'll be really upset about that. So I'm just bracing myself for not having a season. And I don't know. I just feel like there's so many variables, and especially with football being a contact sport and players being so up close, it's not like in baseball where you're going to have an outfielder spread out, you know, 50 feet apart from his teammate. I think there's so many things involved, and I know there's so many economics that go into this, and how, you know, in colleges, how, you know, the schools are so reliant on their football teams. But I personally don't know how you can go forward with this with so many questions being unanswered. I feel like as time goes on, we'll probably have some more answers to this virus, and we'll have some, you know, clarity, and you can kind of get a more solid blueprint as opposed to just a guesstimate, kind of like how MLB proposed to the players recently. But I think until we have a vaccine, obviously the life won't really go back to complete normalcy until then. So we just have to have some contingency plans right now.
Well, I think that, you know, I think that we need to all update our files a little bit. I felt similar to the way you felt about 2 months ago. But as the data is coming in and we're seeing who's really being affected by this, and you're seeing the numbers for people that are under 60, it's basically equivalent to the flu. So what are we doing here? We got to update our files on this. For the people with underlying conditions and for the elderly, this is a nightmare. This is every bit the nightmare that we've thought. But it's not for the population at large, and we're learning that. There are some isolated cases, and everyone's going to send me the outlier of some poor kid, you know, that's got some horrific lung disease or something. But it's not that. So I think that's why I'm so upset that we're making these decisions months and months in advance as we're learning more information every day. I don't know. I used to feel as pessimistic as you, but I don't anymore.
I mean, it's probably my nature, too. I think I've probably been listening to you too much the last 10, 15 years, so it's probably seeped into my unconscious, my subconscious.
Yeah. I'm trying not to be pessimistic with this one. I'm trying not to.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. I heard you guys talking earlier about, you know, schools planning out for next March and deciding to cancel, you know, spring seasons for next year. I think that's a little too early to do that, honestly. You know, as pessimistic as I am, I think you should take this basically as a month-by-month basis. The whole question is, you know, would you feel comfortable going to a game if you did, you know, and your kid got sick or your relative got sick, would you be upset with yourself for going to that
game?
Well,
they have to, people have to make those decisions, right? People have to make their own decisions on that, you know?
Yeah.
I would tell my mother not to go to the game. Stay home.
Jake, how can people get the book? Is it at jakerussellsports.com?
That's correct. Yeah, head to jakerussellsports.com, click the Nationals book tab, and for the love of God, order as many as you guys want. There's nothing but time in quarantine. Plenty of quarantine reading right now. It's a fantastic book, not that I'm biased or anything. And I autograph it, and I ship it out within 24 hours. And trust me, I wash my hands all the time, so the book is clean, so don't worry about that.
All right, Jake, appreciate the time.
All right, thanks for the time, bro.
Thank you, man.
Right, thanks for having me, guys.
Yep,
you got it. Great
thanks,
work.
Jake. Yep.
All right,
the book's
buddy.
100 Things Nationals Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. He's updated it. Go to jakerussellsports.com to grab your copy. Remember, coming up at 9 o'clock, should be interesting. We've got Michael Grieco, who's the lawyer for Quentin Dunbar. We'll talk to him at 9 o'clock and John Clayton to talk some NFL at 9:40 right here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington this Tuesday morning. Jason watches everything a day late via DVR. Did you watch The Last Dance yesterday?
Oh, absolutely.
So you watched the final two episodes. It's interesting. We'll get your take in a second.
Yep.
I just was clicking through Yahoo News, and the headline of this article was, Michael Jordan reminds us of who he is with The Last Dance, and it's not someone you want to be like, and it's just... proceeds to hammer him. I'll just read the final paragraph. It goes, in the end, the second most revelatory thing about The Last Dance is what a one-dimensional, unamiable man Jordan was and remains. If he knows this about himself, he doesn't care. But the real surprise is that after all these years, Jordan still buys into his own, it was all fine because we won nonsense.
Hey, you know what? I think I'd be okay with having Michael Jordan's legacy and being Michael Jordan.
That sounds like a loser who wrote that.
He won a bazillion NBA titles, and I believe his net worth as of today is north of $2 billion.
So
I'd be okay with being Jordan.
I actually didn't know this, but I just saw the bottom of the article. The writer is a Yahoo Sports soccer columnist and a sports communication lecturer at Marist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But what is his beef? That he's like a bad person? Is that what, like, what is, what
that's
is
That's the perception, yeah. That's the perception.
He comes off unlikable. He justifies everything, you know, being a bad person.
Well, people are that way. I kind of knew that. I have to say, I don't think I really learned that much from this regarding Jordan.
I kind of knew a lot of it, yeah. But, I mean, the behind-the-scenes stuff you had never seen before.
I like to see some of that footage.
And honestly, I didn't know, and maybe I didn't, I just forgot about it. I didn't know that the flu game, I didn't know that was food poisoning.
Yeah, I mean,
I just assumed he had the flu. I had no idea that he ordered a pizza at 11 o'clock at night, and he was the only guy who ate it.
Right.
And then he was, on the floor, and I didn't know that.
So does that mean he ate the entire pizza himself?
That's what he said.
Or he just didn't let anybody else have a piece and ate, like, six of the eight slices?
Oh, because didn't you see it?
I saw it, yeah.
So the other guys in the room, when the five guys came up to deliver it, they got a little, scared that something wasn't right.
Right.
And then Jordan ate the entire pizza and none of the other guys touched it.
Yeah.
Why did they get scared though? They thought it didn't taste right?
No, they just thought it was weird that five guys were delivering a pizza.
Oh. Yeah. See, I didn't even get to that point. I actually bailed on it yesterday. I watched the 10 episodes? I watched the ninth, and by the 10th, I just kind of peered out.
That's the culmination.
That's the last dance.
I guess
you watched the first five
it.
Dances.
I watched nine episodes and I just kind of petered out on it. And I love Jordan. I just said,
oh,
I
you got to see it because then that game six when Pippen had the back injury and he's going in and out of the game, and Jordan is just how many minutes did Jordan play in that game? All of them?
46.
He played 46. I mean, he took every shot. I mean, that's you got to watch that just for that game.
I'll watch it. I will. It's only one more hour to sit through, but yeah. I don't know.
I was completely entertained by all 10 hours.
I agree with you. I really liked it. And somehow, look, I rooted against Jordan in those series. I rooted for the Utah Jazz. I was sick of Jordan winning all the time. I rooted for Charles Barkley, which I guess was the third Bulls championship. I definitely rooted for Barkley. I don't know if I really rooted for the Sonics, but I rooted for the Jazz. I just wanted a new team to break through.
You're disappointed every time, every single time.
Of course, he was a killer. And this article kind of points to him being unlikable. I found him to be fine. You know, you kind of just knew he's an ultra competitor. You know, it doesn't look like he has many boys from the guys that he played with. Like you said, he maybe plays golf with Scottie Pippen every now and then. I mean, I don't know if this was the ninth episode or the tenth episode, the one that they focused on Steve Kerr for a while.
Right.
So Steve Kerr lost his father in Lebanon,
right,
murdered. And Michael Jordan's father obviously murdered. And they point out that they never spoke about it.
That's
you would
really
think
weird.
That at one point they would have related to each other, and they never, ever talked on that level.
Well, I think it was painful for him.
Oh, yeah,
I think that's what he said, too.
Yeah,
painful, but I just think, you know, Jordan's boys, it appeared, were like the security guys, his personal assistant.
That's often true, though, of the elite, right?
Correct.
LeBron's a little different. LeBron likes to be around people and stuff. But, like, Tiger's like an aloof kind of weirdo.
Kobe seemed to be a little bit like
Kobe's
that.
Kobe's a little bit like that, too.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think all the guys at the tops of their sports are probably have a little bit of.
It's hard to relate to everybody else. You're just
absolutely.
So much better, and you know, and everyone's jealous.
Their
of
level
you.
Of focus and desire to win and stay on top is different than most guys in the league.
Right.
This Yahoo article, though, is a complete takedown of Jordan's character. I don't know if you want to.
That guy's
check
a
it
loser.
Out. Well, he's a soccer columnist. Right. What does that guy know?
I'll say this. I'm starting to question his character after hearing this pizza story.
Why?
It's just so fake. It's the fakest story. You're going to eat a pizza that five guys bring to your door the night before a game. You're eating a pizza at 11 o'clock at night with your trainer. And no one else is going to eat it, and you have to spit on it so no one else eats it. You're Michael Jordan. Just tell everyone you were hammered or you lied and there was no flu and you weren't sick at all. But nobody is buying the pizza story anymore.
I know Drop T-shirt isn't buying
it.
I bought
Jordan.
I bought it.
Well, like, you think Tom Brady's going to eat a pizza that five guys show up to his door the night before a Super Bowl? Hey, eat this pizza.
He would go to Atlantic City the game day before games. He would smoke cigars.
He was partying.
A little different.
Hold on. Slow down, Drabby.
Where was he partying? In Salt Lake City.
He's in Park City. I don't know. He can drink in his room. I don't know what it was. I just know he didn't get food poisoning from a pizza at 11 o'clock at night.
Well, how does it benefit? Let's slow down for a second. It's better to have the legend of a flu game than it is to say you got food poisoning from a pizza that five donks gave you.
I know.
That's way more humiliating.
Why is no one ever doesn't even know the name of the pizza place?
All right, but hold on.
Well,
what do you mean
no one knows the name of the pizza place?
That's never come out. Like, how does no one know the name
of
the
place?
How
do you know it's never come out?
Because I've researched this the last few days.
All right, but hold on, Drabby. How does it benefit him? How does it make him look any better?
It just makes him look like some warrior who's fought. I love Jordan, who fought through food poisoning.
The flu is a warrior fighting through the flu than a tummy ache.
Food poisoning is brutal. You're acting like
the
food
flu
poisoning.
Is brutal.
So is food poisoning. Have you ever been food poisoned?
It's terrible.
One,
I definitely don't think that food poisoning is worse than the flu.
If you get bad food poisoning, you can go to the hospital. It's
if it
terrible.
Comes out that they
you
lied,
the flu could kill you.
You think Michael Jordan spit on his pizza in a room filled with guys so they wouldn't eat his pizza? He's Michael Jordan. He has to say, "Hey guys, don't eat my pizza." I'm Michael Jordan.
I must have missed that. I didn't hear that he spit on the pizza.
I didn't know
you
had such strong convictions about this Drab.
Well, a lot of people feel the same way as Drab. There are a lot of theories out there.
I just don't know how it makes him look good. How does the pizza thing, how does that benefit him?
It's just another tale. It's just another like, oh my God, he's so amazing. And I
Drab,
love him.
I think as a protest, you should burn
all
your
Nike gear. A lot of people
don't
think that. A lot of people think he was just a D-bag. I don't think a lot of people say, oh, he's so amazing. I mean, it was incredible that he was out there sick if it was from food poisoning or from
drinking
too much bourbon. I don't know.
There was a conspiracy theory for years that he was never sick, that it was all a charade.
You think he was acting the whole time?
Did you see the game?
Didn't he look terrible?
Okay, do you think he looked 100% healthy?
I don't know. I don't know.
What?
I
mean, come on, dude. Use your brain.
Jason, you believe everything you read, every legend about Michael Jordan, you gobble up. Turn your nose up at anything that's questionable about him.
No, but I watched that game. I remember watching the game and thinking, all right, well, there's something wrong here. He doesn't look right. I do remember that.
I think I need to hang with Drab, and we need to chew the fat on some conspiracy theories. I think
he may have admit 100%.
But Drab is not alone. I'm reading this article. I just sent it to you guys on the Google Hangout, and this comedian makes a good point. Like, how would the five guys, first of all, it's five guys showing up. How would they know that the pizza was for Michael Jordan? People don't go, hey, I'm ordering a pizza for Michael Jordan. Everybody come join us.
Well, I don't know. They knew. Maybe they just knew.
They
probably knew that the Bulls were staying in that particular hotel.
I just don't know how it benefits them.
Maybe they had to allow those guys to come up to the floor. Who knows? You guys are nitpicking. You have no idea what happened there. The bottom line is there's no way he was 100% healthy for that game, whether it was the flu, food poisoning, or some other hungover. You can just tell by watching him.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he was hungover, and so they're trying to cover up being hungover. That's possible. Maybe I'd buy that. That's about the only way I could see why they would make up a food story.
Something's not adding up.
Yeah.
He's not calling and saying, hey, this is Michael Jordan. Can you bring me a pizza? In Utah, the night before game six.
Well, again, you can question it. But the bottom line is he was not healthy for the game.
There's a lot of questioning going on in the producer's
And you can't tell
studio.
Me that he looked normal for the game. You just can't tell me that.
But what if it was – now you put this
Unless
in
you just
head.
Want to believe that.
What if it was just he just got hammered and just hungover?
I mean, I guess anything's possible.
I have a hard time believing he's going to get hammered before an NBA Finals game.
I don't. He was going to Atlantic City between games at times.
He was playing high-stakes golf matches.
You can go to Atlantic City and not get hammered. I understand that. I'm not speaking from
Hold
experience.
Hold on. He definitely was drinking beer and betting between playoff games.
Correct.
On the golf course.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. So he clearly, at that, you know.
Drab is questioning the story. There's no evidence that he was hungover and drinking bourbon.
No, but he's also a grown man and realized, okay, I can have a few beers. I'm not going to drink myself to oblivion the day before one of the biggest games of my life. I find that hard to believe, too.
They're all big games for him in the NBA Finals. You know, he was used to it.
How many went to seven games?
And by the way, I knew there are these
of the finals?
None,
right?
No. Oh, wow. Only the Indiana Pacers and the New York Knicks Eastern Conference Finals series.
Yeah, 93 and 98.
I remember watching the Dream Team doc, and I don't know if it was Magic Johnson. It was somebody talking about Michael Jordan, how he could go out all night and be perfectly good to go in the game. Like, they were blown away by his ability to do that. So maybe this is one of those times where he was doing that, and then he came up with some sort of cover story because it actually did catch up to him.
Maybe doing that. For game 15 when he's playing the Bullets. I don't see him staying up all night and drinking himself to the point of being sick before an NBA Finals game. I think that's way more preposterous than the Pizzagate that we're talking about.
I'd have to watch it over again. Drabby, I didn't hear him say that he spit on the pizza. Did I miss that?
No, I'm just reading about it here in the article. That Jordan said he spit on it.
He's okay because he didn't say that in the documentary.
That's such a little kid move, by the way. That's like a 4-year-old move, spitting on the
All right,
food.
Jason Hare on The Last Dance with Jalen and Jacoby. When the pizza shows up, Michael says, "Everybody, do not touch this pizza. This is mine. You didn't wait for it. Don't touch this." So he spits on the pizza. Jason Hare said that.
Hold on, can you say pizza again?
All right, so
pizza.
Because he didn't say that.
But don't nickpick, Eric, because I'm right about this.
Hold on.
I don't care. Just say pizza again.
I don't know if you're right or wrong, but I don't remember him saying that in the documentary. Maybe after the fact they said that.
Does he have an S thing or something?
Pizza, Rick. Pizza.
Why did he just say can't pizza? Speak.
We're talking about speak. A 25-year-old pizza.
You're probably half listening. You're staring at pictures of yourself. You're sending me all show long.
Well, I'm complaining about why my image doesn't look better. It should look better.
Image of what?
Well, because I upgraded my camera, and my feed looks silly, and it's still coming out a little washed out. I'm not very happy. So,
my picture looks silly.
Plus, I also
hijacked my wife's computer.
I'm not not getting a haircut, and this hair is bothering me right here. I'm protesting the quarantine.
I'm getting my haircut tomorrow.
You are?
You are. Good for you.
I got a little underground place that I found.
Really? You're not going to have T do it?
No. Right. I'm having a professional do it.
Does its name rhyme with Shrooming Hound?
No, they're not open until June 10th. Grooming Hound not open until June
10th. Well, I know they're not technically open until June 10th.
Oh, no. That's... has nothing to do with Grooming Lounge.
Okay, let's go to the phones. 800-636.
I just needed to find a spot. I just need it.
106.7 is we're talking
outrageous.
About The Last Dance and Michael Jordan and spitting on a pizza. Dan, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. The biggest thing I think is Jordan never said it. It's the Hangar R guy. I mean, his trainer's like, yeah, I thought something was wrong because there was five guys there. He's just hyping his story. Jordan never said it was five guys there. The trainer said that. If he thought something was wrong, he should have said, don't eat the pizza. I think the trainer, his hangar-on guys are adding to the story, and so Jordan doesn't want to make them look back, so he doesn't really say, no, there was one guy there. Him spitting on the pizza, Jordan didn't say that. That's somebody else telling the story, so they hype it up a little bit, you know?
And look, yeah, I had never heard that. But I didn't hear the food poisoning story for years. I had no idea. I just assumed it was the flu. I didn't know that.
I think his guys are hyping. But Lurch, I got one more thing. Your dog's a herding dog. That's why he goes after those big white sheep looking dogs. That's why he gets crazy.
Not a herding, a herding.
Okay, so it's because they look like sheep?
You said they were big labradoodles. I look up a picture of a labradoodle. They're white and furry like sheep, and your dog is bred for herding. I look
like
at
sheep.
I don't know if that's the
reason. I like sheeps better. I like the S on the
end. I don't know if that's the reason. Because she went after a black labradoodle at a dog park back in, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago.
It's black.
I think it's just the breed. She doesn't like the breed of labradoodle. Something she's got something against labradoodles, Pickle. I don't know what
she's into pure labs or pure doodles.
Yeah.
Not labradoodles.
She doesn't want a mutt running around her neighborhood.
Yeah. She doesn't like the combo.
She doesn't like Sir Mix-a-Lots.
Well, not that particular one, no.
Let me Google it.
But you know, I just enjoyed the overall piece. I mean, I thought it was very entertaining.
And part of it is we loved hoops back then.
Of course.
The hoops back then.
I don't love the NBA now like I loved it in the 90s.
Every player.
Yeah, I recognize every bench player.
I know, it's crazy.
We should get Keith Booth on the show.
Like, hey, there's Joe Klein in street clothes.
What are the chances
we can get
Keith Booth?
I'm sure we can get Booth. I'm sure we could get him.
Yeah.
What's he doing these days? What's he up to?
I feel like he's coaching. I feel like he's coaching high school basketball, maybe.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Let's see. I'm not 100% sure. Labradoodles, they're like mutts. They're not even – people like them.
They're a combination labs and poodles.
Yeah, but they're not even like good-looking dogs.
I think they're pooey dogs.
Yeah.
They just look like – they're big, goofy dogs.
It looks like a dog you'd find behind a trash can. You know what I mean? Like a homeless dog. Looks hard. I would never go out and say, I'm going to get me a labradoodle.
I think Cal Ripken has one.
Who?
Cal Ripken.
Cal.
I don't know why.
Luca would attack it.
He loves it.
Do some of them get pretty big?
Yeah, they're big dogs.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
Like a huge dog.
Yeah, they can be 100 pounds.
How big is your dog?
My dog's 65 pounds.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like those big, that big Jason Worth dog. What kind of dog is that?
Oh, that was a great Dane.
Probably.
How big do those dogs get?
Oh, massive.
What, like 200 pounds?
Probably at least 150.
Sure, probably. Yeah,
150 or something.
I've seen Great Danes that are at least 150 to 200.
Right. I mean those things are massive.
Yeah. I mean they're like 9 feet tall.
Right. Right. If they stood on just two legs.
Right. All right, remember, coming up at 9 o'clock, we got Quentin Dunbar's attorney. That should be interesting. The former Redskins corner has been accused of armed robbery. We will talk to him. And John Clayton talks some NFL coming up at 9:40 here on the Junkies.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra.
Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington as well. We're just talking about Michael Jordan and the pizza story. I happen to see on Barrett Sports Media, the guy who actually made the pizza vouches that he delivered the pizza and swears that there's no chance he got food poisoning because it was a thin and crispy and he made it well.
Oh, thin and crispy sounds so good.
Well, I mean, who knows, right? There could be some bad sauce in there or something. Who knows, right?
And I think he said nobody else complained that night. I don't know how he would remember. Well, I guess if you deliver a pizza to Michael Jordan, and the guy supposedly didn't deliver pizzas very often, but he did make a good point. He said everybody in Utah knew where the Bulls were staying.
Right.
Of course.
So when the order came in, he was the assistant manager at Pizza Hut in Park City. When the store received Jordan's order 23 years ago, and he says no chance he had food poisoning from the
pizza. I bet that pizza wasn't as perfect as the ones EB made back in the day, Pointer Ridge Pizza Hut.
I got 10s out of 10 on those cakes.
I know.
A true story.
That is a true story, not a fabrication.
And, by the way, those were blind, like you didn't know that the evaluator was there. You just had to always make 10s. And then you just never knew, and they would randomly survey, once a month or something, come by and check out your pizza as a customer.
Mystery shopper.
Is that Pizza Hut still there?
Yes.
Wow.
It's still there.
Yeah. I don't know how many Pizza Huts are around, but, I mean, they still do exist. There are a lot of them are just carry out, especially now, I got to imagine.
I think most of their business is carry out. Like, I've ordered a pizza from that Pizza Hut in the last year. We don't do it very often. But every once in a while when I'm over at my mom's, we've ordered pizza
you
there.
You really do?
Yeah, and when I've gone to pick it up, there's nobody inside. I think maybe sometimes people go there for lunch because they have the buffet.
They used to have the buffet, but I don't think I've been there in 15 to 20 years.
Yeah. Wow. No, I mean, you know what? To be honest, for places that we go in Bowie, it's probably underutilized by my family because it's always a home run when we get it. But I just kind of snooze on it. And it doesn't have – there hardly ever any cars over there.
I thought you were talking about Paisanos, the pizzas we make for them. And I'm not just trying to get in a cheap plug.
No, please do.
When they give us that make your home kit, which I always ask for two. So I'll order dinner and then ask for two kits just so we can have them for the next couple days. I stretch it out, one kit, and I make two like long pizzas.
Yeah.
And I make two sillies instead of like one round one. Cakes will make one short, fat, round one. He barely rolls the dough out.
Right.
People love the Joan, by the way.
I cut my dough in half, and I get my silly, whatever that wood thing is, roller, the dough roller.
Dough roller.
And I stretch it out, and I make two long sillies, and it's incredible. It's amazing pizza. Now, sometimes they look a little funky because I'm not great at shaping them.
Right.
But
they taste really good.
Oh, they taste so good. And we have one of those. I have to tell you, we have one of those stones. Do you guys have one of those that you put in the oven and you preheat?
No. Zippy pizza stones.
Ours sucks. It's way better just on a regular pan, just preheating a regular pan. Overhyped. I don't believe in the pizza stones.
Why? What's wrong with it?
The crust comes out kind of mushy.
Oh, does it?
Crust comes out crisper.
You don't like any stones. You don't like pizza stones, Rolling Stones.
I don't like that Roger size. Stone.
I don't care about Roger Stone.
Steve Stone. Blarney Stone.
I used to like Steve
Flintstones.
Stone.
Phillips.
I love the Flintstones.
All right.
You didn't like the Flintstones?
Oh, I'm sure.
Love
I did.
The Flintstones back in the day.
Are you
now
kidding?
We're trending old again. So old the show. Today,
yeah, I started the show off talking about Metamucil. I had to drink Metamucil.
More old things today.
Oh,
I don't think
so
it's
depressing.
Right. It's humanly possible.
Could it be more depressing to drink Metamucil every morning now?
Well, yeah. Can't
you just put it in your cereal or something if you have cereal?
Well, then your cereal is going to taste
like it's not a great taste.
By the way,
it's like a powder. You just put it on there.
Yeah, but it's a terrible taste.
I've been to gastroenterologists before because I've had acid reflux. I don't really take anything for it now. And I think every time I've ever been, they've always recommended fiber. Like, that's a standard. They just throw that out there.
Yeah.
It could be Metamucil. There are other things that you could put into your drinks.
Yeah,
I think that's just a standard thing that they throw out there because it's good. It doesn't mean you have to.
I bought into it.
Well, but they're saying they found a little diverticulitis in there, too, so he's got a little inflammation. So they're saying, hey,
it's fiber. Not 100% pure
keep
colon.
Keep being inflamed. Inside. Keep having an inflamed colon.
I'm telling you, man, this coffee, have you noticed lately? I haven't.
I haven't noticed. Cakes is the one that monitors that.
Cakes monitors. I text him when I go.
Yeah, right.
So that he knows.
Real quick, so we've got the lawyer for Quentin Dunbar joining us at 9 o'clock. Drab had sent this article about the average American making excuses on things to do. So apparently the average American will make 2,190 excuses to validate their decisions per year.
I think my son did that just yesterday.
And the five most common excuses are, I'm too tired, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough time, it's too inconvenient, I'm too forgetful. What about, I'll do it tomorrow? What about that?
There's a lot of those.
And I think Cakes mentioned this, it might have been on a weekend show, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Where you had planned maybe to clean your office. I have a storage room. I told you this. Maybe I said this weekend.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the weekend before.
That was a couple
it's
weekends.
Literally
ago.
5 feet
don't
away
do it.
From me.
You don't want to do it.
And it's full of junk, and I just keep saying, I'll do it tomorrow. Whatever.
You know it's going to be there the next day, so there's no rush.
Which is strange for you because you're kind of a clutter-free guy. You're a neat freak, kind of like me. So the fact that you just let your storage room just build up and build, you're hoarding in the storage room.
It's small. Well, part of it too is like if I just got rid of everything, my wife would get bitter at me because I'm getting rid of stuff that she wants to keep. So it's a little bit. It's one of those deals where it's a little overwhelming. Like you look at it, and it's not even big. It's actually what would normally be like. We could convert it to a small bathroom down here. So it still has, you know, the fixtures. If we wanted to put in a sink, a small shower, and a toilet,
is it the size of the janitor's closet where David Spade is making out with Molly Sims?
Yeah,
the Wrong Missy.
See, you like the Wrong Missy. Cakes is laughing every time he brings up the Wrong Missy. You like
not every time,
not every time. You've brought it up twice, and you've laughed twice.
It was. I would.
He laughs at anything.
That is true. I gave it a 3.5. 1/3 funny, 2/3 cheesy.
Oh, okay.
In my opinion.
Okay, but even the cheesy parts are funny.
Somewhat. Yeah. Rob Schneider always makes me laugh. I'm sorry.
I mean, that's
he's always going to make me laugh.
By the way, I'm really surprised he was in a David Spade movie.
Right. Oh, of course. Oh.
And did you take a look at what I thought is a complete it's a complete mystery to me. Nick Swartzen's face looks like he should be 400 pounds.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
But his body is regular.
He's got little chicken legs, but he's got this big giant face and a big double chin, but the rest of his body looks, it just, his head does not fit his body. You're right about that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to have Quentin Dunbar's attorney next. What's the guy's name? It's Michael Grieco.
Michael Grieco.
Michael Grieco.
And he's a former, like, state representative or something like that, former politician in Florida.
We got a lot of questions for him.
Yeah, I got a lot of questions. At first, it seemed like he was claiming that Dunbar wasn't at the event. Now he's saying, no, he was there.
He may be a current rep.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's a former Florida state representative or current state representative, but
maybe
he's
an
attorney.
I saw an old article, yeah.
So we will talk to the lawyer for Quentin Dunbar next here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.